Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
She's multi-talented. She's a great singer, too.
I have no doubt about that. I could tell just walking into the room that something was
going on. We recorded a couple of duets the other
day. You perform, you have songs, and you write songs?
I do.
Cool.
She'll be on Sing Songers one of these days. So are we ready to go? All right. I love that you're asking about the format of this show.
Well, it's just me.
It's half of Skull Juice.
It's just the which half are you?
I'm the half that eats.
The half that eats
except now because I'm on the Master Cleanse.
Right.
Andy's the half that does everything else.
Everything else.
Every drug. How was he last time? I thought he was a little drunk last
time. I don't know.
Andras Jones was just on Skull Juice number whatever.
Yeah, and I feel like saying you're the name of your band to everyone.
Because of that appearance?
You were
good on it.
I loved playing music on it. I love hanging out with Andy, and he's one of my great muses, and my respect and esteem for you is limitless.
That's
true.
Uncalled for.
It's totally true. I felt that way before. I felt that way when you were running naked through the Natural Fudge in 1988.
You know, I there's a video of that somewhere, and
really?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that.
Here's the thing.
Not that you naked running.
I remember being
Anthony
backstage,
and all of us so young.
Playing with myself because, sorry, Church. She's not even listening. Church is in
you apologize to her every time you play with yourself?
it was like a little certs container.
You need to get something.
Yeah, and I'm normal. I'm normal sized.
I don't remember being unimpressed.
Well, you're probably not gay at all.
I mean, everyone's probably a little bit gay. I mean,
thank you.
And it's, especially to the extent that we're homophobic, then we're super gay.
I'm more fagophobic.
You're fagophobic?
Yeah. I like, just like real flamboyant gay guys. Scare me.
I'm just phobic in general. I'm terrified of everything and everyone. Yes.
So, you did Skull Juice, and
I recommend should check it out because I'm probably going to be apologizing for it several times.
Yeah, well,
this
will probably air 3 years,
years after that.
Yeah, but after the show, I was like, because you played some great songs, and I thought, of course, you should be on Sing Songers, and Andy was instantly
jealous.
Yeah,
yeah.
Why can't I be on it? God, I hate him. No, I love him.
Well, I think we both feel like, as I was saying, you were saying that we were in a feud, and I was like, is there anyone who's known Andy for a long, at least 10 or 15 years who isn't in some sort of feud with them?
Yeah.
I mean, he's in a feud with
himself
and everyone else.
Yeah.
So, part of being in relationship.
He hates his kids. He loves his kids. He calls them little cocksuckers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's one of the... See, I just wanted to say nice things about his daughter, and he just went to like, oh, you just want to fuck her. I'm like, no, good God, man. I'm generally not in the habit of trying to have sex with people I knew when they were three.
But now you guys write songs together, too.
Oh, yes. No, Andy is one of my great, great muses. I can't help but like, I really hate that he is like literally a muse for me. He will say things. Or I will just, like, if I think about Andy, songs will come out. When we were writing together, it was amazing. And
what was that process like? Would he come up to you with an idea?
No. I had to force it. It was a forced thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was at first I was living in the trailer outside of his place. And he loved, I love your music. I love your music. It's like, okay. He's like, we got to write songs together. And then I try and write songs with him. And
I want to go out and play.
Yeah, he's doing all this stuff. But then I figured out a way to make it work, which is basically to follow him around with a guitar and play. And then there would be little moments of genius. The thing he has, I really do believe that his like scream voice, that thing, is one of
that's punk rock.
It's a great rock and roll voice.
Yeah,
it is a great rock and roll voice. And getting to
work with that, like Iggy Pop, if he really focused on it,
he could be a lot of things if he really focused. Yeah. on it. I mean, really, he's. I mean, we. Because
that's one thing I noticed when I did a show a couple weeks ago, and I just stand there and play. But the band after us was like, everyone, you know, was just so animated and cool. And I'm, you know, I'm just an old man with a guitar now, but like, so I kind of want to,
well, it's got a groove, but it has, your thing has a groovy sort of New York 1970s. Like you are
like Lou Reed.
Yeah. You are choosing to stand still and just play. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. You know? But I think maybe like then there's some songs after I saw that, I started writing some songs that made me move a little bit while mm-hmm. I played.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it is in the songwriting too.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I know that's probably obvious, but I'm new at this. This is why I'm doing this podcast.
So you can learn. This is your master class.
Yeah,
as a songwriter.
Exactly.
Great. Well, yeah. I don't know. You know, I hope I can impart something that is useful to you.
You're
and
already
to the listeners.
Doing it. You're already doing it.
You know, I wanted all yesterday when we were recording Skull Juice, I was trying to. There was a song I wanted to that I like started. Like I was talking about Andy being a muse.
Yeah.
And can I use that other guitar for a second?
Do you want the pick?
Yeah, I know. I got a pick. That's cool.
It's in the guitar. So
I was starting this idea. And we could even, I mean, I don't know. I know you don't want to necessarily write on the air, but, you know, it's not really on the air. We could cut it out if we want to.
No, but we cut nothing out of this.
Always record.
Yeah. You're probably thinking, no, we're going to cut him out. You know, when Dino says fagophobic, we're going to cut that. No.
No, I wouldn't expect you to cut that. No. So yesterday morning I woke up and I was just like, thinking about Andy, thinking about whether he was going to be sober or not, and thinking about how I keep running into people who are telling me that they've heard that he's fallen off the wagon, but he's been on and off so many times that I don't know if they're talking about a previous time or if they're talking about today. You know, he seems like he's got his shit together right now somewhat, you know, as much as Andy does.
Yeah. Sad but true.
And but at any rate, so it's one of those things. I think about him as having like a sobriety cycle. Mm-hmm. Like he'll never be sober, but as long as he stays on his sobriety cycle, I'm not too worried about him.
Yeah.
So, and then
you were just about to play. And I cut you, I cock blocked you. I'm never worried about Andy. I'm just worried about me hanging out with Andy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think he's like a survivor. He's
more than a survivor.
Yeah. Yeah, he kills other people.
He kills other, takes their life essence.
Yeah. he's what's the word? A succubus.
A succubus.
Yeah.
Cipher?
Cipher, yes. Succubus, yeah.
So anyways, it's only a part of a song. It's like,
okay.
This is my my sobriety cycle. I can take what I like till I'm in need of the Archangel Michael. This is my sobriety cycle. This is the place where you talk, be funny. This is the place where we rock, we money, yeah. Be funny. My sobriety cycle. I can take what I like till I'm in need of the Archangel Michael. This is my sobriety cycle.
And now this is the part where it gets really fast.
Well, that would be like how I would work with Andy. Yeah, I would be like, this is the place where you talk, and he's trying to think, talking and
singing.
Yeah,
you'd be. It seems like let's get into Andy's hyperactivity with the bridge, you know.
But he has this love, a real love for. Oh, here, you can take this back. For sweet you know, I think one of the things I also like about him is he really does have generally great taste in music.
Yeah.
Like
he likes me.
He likes you. He likes Ricky Lee Jones. He,
yeah.
You know, he loves Tom Waits. You know, sometimes there's, with everyone, we disagree. That was the one thing I wanted to talk about in the, on an episode about songwriting. Probably the most audacious thing I think about songwriting is that I don't believe that there's anything, I don't believe that there's any such thing as bad music,
mm-hmm.
that they're just bad audiences. Sometimes
really?
A bunch of people will agree on something that I think is bad, but like no one can convince you.
Right.
Like if you are enjoying
opinion,
something,
of course, yeah.
Like even if it's ironic or whatever it is, if it pleases you, you don't want to hear someone cutting in and saying, "Oh, I don't like this." Like you're a bad audience. Like
yeah,
to
right,
me,
right.
So it's this thing. It's gotten me a lot of trouble in the music business in a weird way because people do have this idea of like this is good and this is bad in my opinion. Like and it's such. I know it's obvious, like all art is subjective,
right.
But with music, I think it's particularly that way.
Like, do you know who has the best taste in music, who likes everything that he should?
Who?
Me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Fuck yeah, exactly. And no one can convince you that that's not the truth. And if you bring that, like, so I also bring that to the writing. Like, when people would come up to me at shows. I don't really play shows much anymore, but when people would come up to me at shows and they'd start to give me their opinions and they were critical, I'd be
yeah.
like, who, in what world does that, is that supposed to matter to me? Like,
right.
Because you spent $3 and talked through half of the show.
Yeah, unsolicited criticism is awful. Yeah.
I feel like most people who write rock and roll criticism, it's unsolicited. Like,
yeah.
Unless you really ask.
Like, yeah.
Robert Hilburn, please tell me what you think.
Right. Yeah, exactly. My ex-girlfriend said to me she wanted to be the band manager. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went off going, you know, I wouldn't really listen to any of your songs. I don't think there's, I wouldn't drive and listen to them. I'm like, Jesus.
So,
but she has the worst taste in music.
But so okay. So as someone who,
but like, she thinks she has the best.
I've worked with, so as someone who works with, because I have my opinions. There's stuff that I like, and there's stuff I don't like.
Yeah.
And I sometimes like, so I host the Radio 8 Ball show.
Yeah.
We have musical guests on it.
What channel is that on?
It's just on Radio8Ball.com.
Giving you the plug.
I appreciate that. But so we'll have musicians on it all the time, and sometimes there's like a songwriter who I don't particularly like. The thing I like about Radio 8 Ball, I know I'll tell about it now. It's a musical divination format where we answer questions by picking songs at random and then interpreting them like musical tarot cards. And it just...
Oh, that old thing.
The thing I love about it is that when you ask a question and pick a song at random and then are listening in the song for what's going to answer your question, it makes you be a better audience.
Yeah.
It makes you really listen selfishly.
Yeah, it's a fun show, actually.
I have a great time doing it. But the thing is that I'll have artists who are on it who I don't think, like, my attitude towards booking on the show is, especially when we were doing it regularly on the radio every week, was just, if you want to be on it, you can be on it.
Yeah.
And so there was no editorial.
That brings up an interesting point. Like, when you don't like an artist and you don't like their music, is there something specific that you could put into words about what you don't like about it? Or is it something like, that's just not turning me on right now? And I'm asking that also to think about yourself as a writer, because sometimes I'll work on a song and I'll be like, would I like this song if I heard it? You know what I mean? Do I have that objectivity when I'm writing one? You know,
So the song that I'm here to promote, because I just came out with a new song with my old band, the previous, called song's called Fast Forward, and I guess it'll play at the end of this, is a song that's kind of like that. Like, to me, I don't know if Andras would like it if I heard it. But then there are things in it that I know I would like. But as a whole piece,
right?
There are parts of it I think that might turn me off.
Do you enjoy playing it?
Oh, I don't even play it anymore. So on the Skull Juice, I'm going to keep referring to that.
Yeah, that's all right.
Andy went on this whole thing about he could have been a rock star, and it's been like...
Right, he's like, he started crying. He's like, Andres could have been a rock star, now he's a loser. Or he didn't say that.
No, but it's implied. Yeah. I mean, there's an implication that rock star is a goal. Like,
this is Andy Dick talking.
I know. But I think for a lot of people, see it that way. And I think it goes...
I mean, it was the same way with, writing for comedy. I had my own show that I wrote and produced, and it went on. And then when I got, a writing gig on Community on NBC, everyone was like, wow, you made it.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I'm like, well, all right. I liked the other job better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, and then you find the ways. I mean, that's this business for most people, is you find the things that you can get paid for and make a little hay and maybe people become aware of you. But then if you're good, if you are good at what you do and you care about what you do. And this is the thing I've always loved. I feel like there is, this is one of the things I've really appreciated about the way you have done your career, from me just seeing it really just as, for many years, I've just watched the work. We haven't really been in touch.
Yeah.
But you will just shit on an opportunity to do it right. And you'll do it over and over again in this way that I love to see. That to me, it's a great, I think of people who really love you, that there's a kind of wish fulfillment that we see in you being able to like, oh, give me a show. And now I'm going to just like rub your fucking face.
I call it being a big baby. I don't want to do anything I don't want to do. I'm like Andy.
I'm the same way, but yeah. I think a lot of us are the same way, yeah. You know, if we're driven by our art, but to be able to make that work and,
right.
You know, for it to be funny and all the things it is. But there's something about that, you know, so in order, like, so what is a rock star? Is a rock star someone who is on stages in front of a lot of people and makes a lot of money and lives a lifestyle that you can't relate to? Or is a rock star someone
who lives their life the way they fucking want?
Yeah, and punches
people
in the face with their songs and pisses people off and does things the way they're going to do it. And like, I've been frustrated with my career from the entirety of my career, don't get me wrong, but to be at a place where I've been writing and putting out music for 30 years and I have no corporate taint on me whatsoever, you know, and whatever audience there is I've generated it.
Yeah.
You know, I have other things.
No, it's impressive, definitely. Jonathan Richman was always a big inspiration to me, and like he had a hit record and he walked away from it because I saw him do an interview. There's a DVD called Take Me to the Plaza, I think. And at the end of it, there's an interview with him and he's just saying, you know, they wanted me to play all these songs I didn't want to play. And he's like, so I have to play these songs? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
What you like about me is that I do what I want, and you're making me play these songs? I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
And he just went off and he started writing whatever he wanted, and he did. You know, he never got huge, but he's great, and he's got a huge following, and that doesn't even matter. He just followed his heart.
His hit was in 19, like his hit was in 74, 75.
Yeah, like Roadrunner or Lovers, Pablo Picasso.
And I mean, I think of Roadrunner probably as being. Yeah.
That's his anthem.
The one that got played on the radio and everything. And, you know, at that point, they wanted, you know, he was probably in competition with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
But I remember 10, 15 years later, being in high school in Massachusetts, and he'd come through just with his guitar riding on
the bus. Happy as a clam.
And, you know, and he seemed like a rock star to me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there were people in his life who were like, you know, you could have been.
Exactly.
Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
And like.
Yeah, but I don't want to be Bruce Springsteen.
I saw Bruce Springsteen that year, and I saw Jonathan Richman that year. They were great. They're both great shows.
Yeah, in different ways.
But Jonathan Richman was free.
Yes.
And Bruce Springsteen was part of a huge machine. And he's, you know, it's heroic that people want to take on being at the head of something so big and be responsible for all that.
Yeah.
But it's nice to sit in a bar and just see someone play some songs for you who you've heard records from.
Definitely. There's a great story. My friend Tom told me this story. He went to see Jonathan and at this little club, and it got sold out, and a bunch of people didn't get in, and they were just bummed out outside. Mm-hmm. And before the show, Jonathan went out with his guitar and played three songs for them, just for them outside there. That's like, I would love to be that popular. Where
yeah.
It's just a little group of people who like me. You
yeah.
know? That's all.
Well, you're on your way. You're on your way, kid.
Well, thanks, Dad. So, but when you and Andy write together, you say you follow him around.
Yeah,
and do you have an idea for a song, or are you strumming and he just starts singing?
Basically, I feel like I take his hand and write. You know, it's
right,
like
yeah.
he'll say something.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be talking with someone. You know, it was like we were talking about in that song, good luck with that.
Yeah.
Meg comes in and is like, what does it look like? What does it yuk yike? What does it yuk yike? And he starts saying, what does it yuk yike? And then that ends up in the song. What does it look like? Looks like a pen light. And it's just completely...
Yeah.
I've always thought that Andy is like, I call him a comic monster. He's funny without, in spite of himself.
Right.
And so it's easy. It's just like there's always something that's worth building a song around that will come out of hanging out with him, whether it comes out of him or a situation that the fucked up situation he gets us in. And he's a generator of drama, and drama makes good material.
Yeah.
And then it's just about getting his focus and also not like being willing to take a lot of abuse.
Yeah, exactly. And during those periods, when you're taking all this abuse and hanging out with Andy, do you go and write your own songs about him, or at least about situations that are, or are you inspired at all?
I'm totally inspired in that situation. This is where the feud is just that, you know, I got screwed, like I worked really hard on a record and I don't feel like I got very well credited and I got songs used in films.
I'll tell you something about Andy. He's not a generous man with money or credit.
It's the weirdest thing. For being so stingy, he actually is incredibly generous. It's the weird thing.
No, like, not with me.
I have been the beneficiary of his generosity.
Oh, that's nice.
At times, but it is also always... It's either accidental or self-serving, but I don't know. I have such a complex relationship with this man.
And a complex about him.
And it's sad, but there are few people who I feel as much, like I really love, like there's a loving thing that has always been there in our relationship.
No, he's great. He's inspirational. He's amazing. He's in the moment all the time.
Yeah,
you know?
And at the same time, yesterday, he's sitting here being like, I know you get offended by being offended, and I'm not offended.
I'm not really.
But I'm just...
Obviously, I'm not.
Being in that situation where he's just like... And I was yucking it up. I was yucking it up with you guys as much as, you know, as anyone.
Right.
But then afterwards, I was thinking, you know, I know people who are sex workers. They're not going to like that. I know people who are Asian. They're not going to like that. I know people who are women.
So Andres like is that. Talking about that there was a porn actress who came in, an Asian British.
Harriet.
Sugar cookie.
Harriet Sugar Cookie.
And
.com.
Yeah.
.com.
And she came in. She was touring the studio for some reason. And
because one of your guys was trying to fuck her.
Yeah, well, yes.
Yeah.
And...
she was his Tinder date, and he was bringing her in to impress her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nothing's wrong. Wrong with that.
I talked to him afterwards. Yeah. He said she had the best time. So just to leave.
Oh, no, actually, I don't feel bad for her. That's the whole thing is if you were in the room at the time, it was all fun and games.
Yeah.
She was giving as good as she was getting.
Oh,
she
was
having
smart.
A great time.
Yeah.
She was super smart. I was just thinking, like, I'm going to share this with all my friends. And I was like, there's quite a few friends who I think are going to listen to that, and they're just not going to feel this, like they're going to, you know, it is interesting because as a songwriter, I feel responsible to that.
That's interesting. Does that inhibit you from writing the songs you want?
No. I can write, I mean, I write lots of songs that that offend lots of people.
Yeah.
It's just, I really mean it. And usually I try and kick up.
Yeah.
I try and kick up hard.
Yeah. And you're a nice guy, so none of your songs are going to be Andy Dick-like.
Although I wrote a lot of songs with Andy that, you know, like that was part of the fun of writing with him. I I feel like, and this is too high a compliment for him, but it's not entirely wrong. We were hanging out in Hollywood right around Jim Morrison's area, his neighborhood, and writing with Andy at that time felt like, he wasn't like Jim Morrison, but he was kind of like Jim Morrison in the sense that we were haunting the same area. He has the knack for getting fucked up in a way that allows him to get away with stuff that nobody else could get away with.
Yeah.
And watching him push that boundary while trying to write music that was trying to do something more than what...
He's
songs.
Definitely punk rock.
Yeah. This is going to be all this... My whole thing on Sing-Songers is all going to be about Andy Dick.
Yeah, we could get off it. When you said you were going to hang out around Jim Morrison, I thought you were going to say, he's like, I want to die in a bathtub, you know? Because he's obsessed with famous people who die.
Well, he's responsible for some of them, right?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
I mean, it's not really fair. He gets that rap.
So you're tuning for a song, right?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about the process of writing this song? Or we could talk about it afterwards.
Yeah.
Let me hear it first. Maybe I don't even want to talk about it. Maybe it speaks for itself. Maybe it's a song called This Is How I Wrote This.
This is how I wrote this.
Yeah. You know those recipe songs? You know, it's like songs like, I can't think of any now, but you know, like how many grit pie or so, you know,
one bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Yeah, it's like just a list of recipes and then you add it, you know. Maybe do one like about writing songs, like the recipe of writing a song.
I do have a song. If you look, I can't play it today, but I have a song called "The Problem with Songwriting."
Oh, okay.
That you can find online.
Nice. Andras.
This is a new one, and I dedicate it to Harriet Sugar Cookie.
Oh, nice. Porn actress.
That's no way to treat a lady. That's no way to treat a guy. I'm so sick of acting shady. Goodbye, 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 goodbye. And hello to some kind of something that'll knock us off our game. It's a shame. That's no way to treat a fella, no. That's no way to treat a gal. I thought she was Barbarella. She thought I was the angel. And hello to some kind of something that'll knock us off our game. It's a shame. That's no way. That's no way. That's no way. That's no way to treat a lover, no. That's no way to treat a friend. Keep on screaming at each other, screaming at each other again and again and again. Hello to some kind of something that'll knock us off our game. It's a shame. It's a shame. 'Cause that's no way. That's no way. That's no way. That's no way. That's no way, oh, that's no way, oh, that's no way, oh, that's no way.
Nice. You know what stood out about that song that I I've been noticing about my songs? So my narcissist.
No, that's good. Bring it back.
I was seeing a lot of my songs have the pronoun I and me in them. They're mm-hmm. first person. They're, you know, mm-hmm. and I was like, I don't write a lot of third person songs, or like you're talking to someone about them. Mm-hmm. And I guess my question is that about you? Is that about a specific relationship, or is that generally the relationships you're thinking of that you've had, or is it the world?
Yeah, that was one of those kind of kismet kind of songs. I was in a bit of a writing phase, and I was writing some other things, and it was actually, I wrote that the day Prince died. I was feeling, you know, moved. Mm-hmm. I grew up with him, and I didn't grow up with him personally, but I grew up with him iconically, and you know, I was feeling that pretty heavy and playing through the songs. And then this song came out of me that does not, like, there are things that are happening in that song that I don't do.
Yeah.
So I feel like I say I got hit with one little purple raindrop, just like yeah. in the explosion yeah, yeah. of that soul, that huge musical soul, one little
right.
thing that, wow. What is it? I always had to go through the whole song before. Right. That would be a thing that I don't know if you have this, but I have a really hard time dropping into the middle of a song in my head. I have to sing
yeah.
the whole
thing.
Oh, yeah.
No, no. I definitely have to go through the whole song.
That line.
Like when the band says, can we just do this part? I'm like, I got to start from the beginning.
So I don't remember. It's basically the pre-chorus in that.
Yeah.
And there's just this little turnaround that I would never, that doesn't feel like it comes from me. And I feel like I don't know if you've experienced this as a songwriter, but that to me is the most magical and amazing thing. And the reason why I don't think there's such a thing as a bad song, because
right.
the format of songs is so strong that someone who doesn't know anything about songwriting like me when I started, and I know you're where you're going to go.
No.
Anyone can pick up a guitar, start to learn these forms, and yeah. you can invest yourself into
right.
it.
And songs, if someone else. We've been raised on songs.
Right.
And, yeah. And you're so into synchronicity. That's what your podcast is about.
Yeah.
That must really.
I learned synchronicity from songwriting.
That's interesting. And you're probably learning songwriting from synchronicity too. I mean, you're able, now you're seeing the clues in an organic way, but you're looking for them too. So that's I think that's very important in songwriting, like the coincidence.
I think it's everything. Yeah. I really do. It's like
right, well, it's life.
And in recording too. Yeah. I mean, you hear the best song, you know, I don't know if it's even a thing anymore with the way people record, but back when you were recording on 8 or 24 tracks or whatever, yeah. you had to, you know, things would happen that were mistakes. And you would just have to go with them.
Yeah.
You'd have to choose to burn something or go with it. And as you started to build on the mistakes, you get this richness.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And you hear like Paul Westerberg or John Lennon or all these people talk about what things that happen in the studio that the mistakes are the best parts.
Can I play a song?
Fucking A.
Can you hand me that pick?
Yeah, and here, take your beautiful Epiphone back.
Oh, thanks. As you were playing that, I was reminded of this song. I was a little drunk on a plane and kind of sang the chorus into my phone and put it away for a while. And usually when I'm drunk and I listen back, I'm like, what the fuck am I talking about? But this one had a germ of something. And then I wrote everything around it. And let's see if I remember it. Because the thing about this show, it's whatever song I'm reminded of. And sometimes I haven't played them in a while. But... Well, she falls to the right of romance, I fall to the left. When there's three falls in our match, our passion is bereft. She falls to the floor in sadness, I fall to my knees. She falls into desperate madness despite all my pleas.
And sex and love are strangers in my head and nature's call. They're both such lone rangers, still they both know where Niagara Falls. Well, she dreams of a prince on horseback, I dream I'm the horse. She just can't have those years back, and we're off our course. She talks to her friends and mother, I talk to myself. She thinks she's just another lover placed upon my shelf. And sex and love are strangers in my head and nature's call. They're both such lone rangers, they don't know where Niagara Falls.
Niagara Falls.
They both know when
God damn it.
Sex and love are strangers in my head and nature's call. They're both such little rangers, still they both know where Niagara Falls. On the rocks, that's where Niagara and sex and love all fall. On the rocks. She dreams that she was abandoned. I dreamed I was jailed in a prison made of fragile souls and hearts that fail. But somehow it all connected. The universe just shrugged.
Fuck, I'm fucking up a lot.
Shrugs.
The universe just shrugged. And happiness was set aside for passion's drug. Sex and love are strangers in my head and nature's call. They're both such lone rangers, they both know where Niagara Falls. Yeah, they both know where Niagara Falls. Sex and love both know where Niagara Falls.
So anyway... you know what threw me off, and it shouldn't. You singing along.
I sang along. I'm sorry. I used to be the same way, and I still am. Can be sometimes.
I was like, what's going on? Is he hungry? Do I need to feed him?
Could I have the other guitar?
Oh yeah,
So, what's that one about? Where does that come from?
It just comes from almost every relationship.
So,
you
were drunk on an airplane.
Yeah, I was thinking about my relationship at the time, and I was thinking there's a pattern to me where, you know, what my version of romance is not my girlfriend's usual version of romance.
You know? What is your idea of romance?
You know, passion and sex and, you know, and being into them and, you know, and
it's
sometimes,
an animal
and,
thing.
Yeah, it's a being an animal, and you know, sometimes they, you know, they need someone who's nice and sweet and, not distant sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're
Niagara.
When I sang it on the plane, it was "Sex and Love Are Strangers" in my head and in my balls. But
that's fucking great. Why did you stick?
Because I sang it to a woman. She's like, I don't like it when balls is in it.
You know what? This is why I don't care what anyone thinks about my songs.
I have to say I was a little embarrassed by the line. I was like,
oh,
I don't know. I thought it
was. You don't listen to my opinion either.
Well, here's the thing. I thought it was copping out. In a comedic way.
You know what? This is, I have a problem with this. This is something that, like, I run into when I'm writing with Andy. And maybe it's just a thing about, like, as you guys are comedy guys and you are sort of have this idea that maybe with music you have to put away some of the funny.
Not always.
But, like if you listen to Pete Townsend, you listen to John Lennon, you listen to Randy Newman, you listen, like, the best songwriters are not afraid to be funny, and you just...
All right, let me just say this, too, because I know where you're going, but also there was the added, it was a pretty song, it was an emotional song, and this part was crass.
Yeah,
it
but
just
you,
stood wait, out as crass,
I've seen,
and like a sore thumb.
I've seen, you have, your
okay.
balls are both pretty and emotional.
No, I'm okay with being crass in a song, it just stuck out because it was the only point in that song that it was crass.
I don't think balls are crass.
Well, not always.
I mean,
depends how much you wash them.
I mean, just the word poetically, balls is kind of a good word.
Yeah.
And heading in my balls, Niagara Falls. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I changed it to Nature's Call. Not as good.
No, I don't think so.
Well, we'll see. We'll
sorry,
see.
I'm not.
We'll see how I feel next time I sing it, which will probably be never.
Heading in my balls. I want to. Yeah, that's great. If you...
No, don't. Don't
I might rip it
song.
Off. I might rip it off.
You could rip off.
No, I don't. Actually, that's the thing is I don't, like, I have written enough songs in my life. Like, actually, every time I write a new song, it's a little bit of a burden. Because
yeah.
It's like, well, it's another one that no one's ever going to hear. And there's a little bit of like,
well, you know. What about Radio 8 Ball? Play them on there.
Oh, yeah. Well, sometimes. I've been the musical guest a couple times. And
hey, could my band be the musical guest? Now we have 14 songs.
You know, I was trying to set something up. We could have done this all at the Seattle International Film Festival,
it's
man.
It's not up to me. It's not up to me. So it was hard to do.
No. I would, of course. You know.
Yeah.
You know I want to work with you on Radio 8 Ball big
right.
time.
Yeah, no, I know.
Because you have, again, it's... the aesthetic of getting that the best stuff comes from saying, okay, well, you want me to do this? Well, fuck that. This is, you know, let's
right.
use that as a jumping off point. This is our, what we can do. And then let's fucking do something. I mean, I really do. Yeah.
I'm just afraid. 'Cause like when you start singing along, like if people start clapping along, I get thrown off.
I won't sing along anymore.
No, it's not you.
I know,
it's
but
it's me.
I get it.
I should get used to that shit.
I would.
You were enjoying it too much. You were bopping, and I was distracted.
And I didn't even know the best line.
I got so thrown off.
Here, wait.
That's what I love about this. About me. It's not. We're not going to edit that. I'm just going to look like an ass.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's great.
Right.
I was thinking of some of my favorite songwriters have the, are what I call stop and start songwriters.
Yeah,
you know, just as a great songwriter named Chris Sandman, the rapping cowboy, and he's been playing a long time, but still, he writes stuff so fast. He'll play. He's not afraid to play new songs.
Yeah,
and so he's not afraid to be like, oh. But he doesn't say if he's not gonna be like, ah, fuck. He's just gonna be like, oh, okay.
And then right, because he goes with it. That's the thing about me. I stop because I think that's cool, but then I get mad at myself. I gotta pick one.
Yeah, but that's still, it's good for you. It's organic to you.
Well, you're very nice. But my band always is like, sometimes I'll say at the end of a song, God, I really fucked that up. And they're like, no one notices.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, but who cares?
Just repeat it twice. But your band's called
Sorry About Everything.
So yeah, sorry about that.
It's a singing apology, yeah.
So I want to play you a song that has some crassness in it. And you
right.
tell me if you think it's under.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm not against crassness. Just when it's in a song that doesn't merit.
Yeah, maybe this one merits. I don't know. All your friends were right about me. I'm just bad news. Yeah, you're better off without me. You win, I lose. Oh, because you're dead right. You're dead right, baby. Dead right. Dead right, baby. Dead right. Dead right, baby. I'm no good for you. You deserve better than this, my darling dear. You get no argument from me there. Just one question for you, pumpkin. If I'm such a bitch, why do you even care? Oh, because you're dead right. You're dead right, baby. Dead right. You're dead right, baby. Dead right. Dead right, baby. I'm no good for you.
no good for you. Ooh, 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 wah, bah, bah, bah. You can call me all the names, take your pick, insult my dick, tell me how I make you sick, yeah, scream and shout, let it out, I can handle it, oh, because you're dead right, you're dead right, baby, to me. Dead right, baby, you see. Dead right, you're dead right, baby. I'm no good for you. Yes, this is the part we call the end, where it's time for me to go. And I know that I can't make amends, but there's one thing you've gotta know, and that's you're dead right. You're dead right, baby, to me. Dead right, baby, you see. Dead right, baby, I'm no good for you. No good for you. No good for you.
Sorry, I got a little too much cayenne pepper in that drink. So that felt like it was, yeah, I mean, I felt the crassness made sense in that song because it was leading up. You were kind of, you were bottled up a mm-hmm. little bit and yeah, it had to come out in some way.
That is a mean song.
Yeah.
That song I did like, yeah. You know, and what's funny, so talk about synchronicity. This is a song that I never really got sober, but I went from being a pretty shitty drunk to being not and mm-hmm. having to like stop and, you know, be sober many months.
Yeah.
And I thought I was writing the song about this woman who was terrorizing my life at the time when this was all going on. And by the time the song was done, it was very clear that the song was about breaking up with booze.
Oh, interesting.
So it's something where the meanness was really healthy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I would just play the song and be like, oh, okay. Man, because I did some things to fuck up
in
my
some
situation.
Way. You were breaking up with yourself as an alcoholic, as an angry alcoholic.
Yeah, yeah. And saying, I wasn't, like, it's also sort of saying, yeah, I'm no good for, like,
yeah.
You're no good for me, I'm no good for you.
God damn it, now I gotta play a song that I know I'm gonna fuck up.
Oh, great, this is, I love it, we're in full-on song swap mode.
Yeah, but this is a song about,
And I won't sing.
I need my computer, which is in the other room, my laptop, but...
Is someone in there?
Is anyone at the controls? If you could just bring my bag in. And so this is a song I wrote for my ex, but she wasn't my ex at the time. And
writing a song about your ex when she's not your ex yet is a sure sign. It's a sure way of getting it there.
Yeah, boy, but I thought I was going to keep her with this one. She was like a really bad alcoholic for a while. Thank you. Yeah, this is it. And then after she cleaned up, I still had issues with her, and I was still angry at her for being an alcoholic, even though she wasn't anymore, and never really committed to her until I thought about it and wrote this song. Where and you'll see what the song's about, but I just got to move some things here.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Get yourself.
We don't edit here.
We don't edit. That's fine.
But this is what I was talking about with you and how, you know, you were two entities. You were your sober self,
mm-hmm.
and your
drunken.
And you're drunk. Drunk self.
Yeah, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah. So, this is what this song's about. You have anything to say? You want to plug anything while I look for this?
Well, you can find my music, a lot of my music on Bandcamp, and a lot of it's free just to listen to as you like. You can find it under my name or under my band, The Previous, or the music that I have written and produced for a cat named Andy Schmushkin. His music I'm very proud of.
You love Andy's with weird last names.
Yes.
Schmushkin.
Schmushkin. It actually means, it's like a diminutive term for, like, it's like what moms say when they're trying to say, tell their daughters to clean their flour, their little.
Really?
Clean your schmushkin. Make sure it's all, you know, it's like a child's term for.
Yeah, yeah.
For that. For the vag. So it is.
That was
kind of,
good. That was good filling. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah. but you can find Andy Schmushkin stuff on Bandcamp. Also, the music that I wrote for and with Andy Dick on his record, The Darkest Day of the Year.
Okay, try to control yourself.
I will not sing. I will. I'm not even going to look at you.
I'm still going to screw it up. But. No one's. God damn it. Right off the bat. I know you didn't do anything. Said that I'm a fast learner. No one said that I'm a perfect roommate. Yeah, I'm the Puritan that set out to burn her, but you were there instead when we cut off her head. My only excuse is that I bloom late. My nom de guerre is the Witchfinder General. I throw those stones the first chance I can get. And if you died, well, it would be my funeral. Cause when you're played alive and she stirred up our hive, realize that moment it is my blood that's left. It took me a while, but I'm done treating you like her. It's so hard to smile when I blamed you cause I didn't like her. Between an angel and a terrorist. I didn't see you came from different parents, but I took those twins, divided one sins, and stuck both of you on that short death list. It took me a while, but I'm done treating you like her. It's so hard to smile when I blame you cause I didn't like her. So here we are, finally next to me. Been so clean for such a long, long time. Maybe it's me that needs some hard, tough loving. Cause my grammar was bended, didn't see you were mended. Confusing you with her's an unforgivable crime. It took me a while, but she's done looming above you. And now we can smile because I know that I love you. And she broke up with me.
Is that the? Did you write that? Did you put that line in there?
No, I didn't, but I should now. If I ever record that,
it would be great if that was in the original song that you played for her.
Yeah. She's always like, write a song about me. Write a song. About
don't. That's the. Anyone I've ever dated is like, when I eventually write a song about you, you will not. Like it. It's not.
But I thought this was a nice song.
The only time I write songs is when I'm aggravated and I can't express myself. And it's easy, right. It's very easy to express loving, happy feelings.
Yeah.
It's hard to express the right. feelings of just like.
Yeah, it's true. All my good songs are either like I hate you or it's unrequited.
Yeah, I guess for me, it's always either frustrated with not being able to communicate something
right, yeah,
or
yeah.
frustrated with not being able to figure something
right.
out. Like, why? Why? Like, and yeah. then you can write inside that person, inside that point of view sometimes, like,
yeah.
not just against it.
Well, I felt like that song was like, that was brewing for years. And then I finally realized, oh, shit, I'm treating her like her old self, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah.
So these are all going to come out on a record soon?
Not that one.
Not that one. You just No. Hauling them out of the vault.
No, no. No, well, that one I just wrote, so I...
Oh, you just wrote that?
Yeah.
And then she broke up, so you just broke up?
Yeah, pretty recently.
Oh, I'm sorry, man.
No, it's okay. I'm not heartbroken. I'm not. I know...
How long were you together?
Well, we always break up and get back together, but this one I think might be it.
That's what the addict always says. You got your soul. There, we really should work on Sobriety Cycle. Sobriety Cycle would be a great song.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, we'll work on that, but not on, it's too much pressure.
Okay, I understand. So what else? What else do you want to know? We'll talk songwritings. This is song talk. Sing songers.
Don't yell at me.
I'm not yelling at you. Sorry. I went into my host mode. What are we doing here? Let's ask.
Well, that's a bad host. Well, what else about you? how about you? No. So, do you? This is my standard question that I ask everyone because
I'll give you my standard answer.
Of writing. I always start words first and then kind of phrasing and then go into music. And I change that up a little bit. When I play around with my guitar, but do you have a standard way of starting a song?
Noodle.
You just noodle, yeah.
Noodle and sing about what's in writing. Like,
right.
I have a few, like if, again, I don't really try to write songs now. I've worked long enough at my instrument so that if I need to write a song, I'll write a song.
Yeah.
But at the time when I was trying to write songs, you know, and I had, like, there were, it's funny, I found tapes from the 80s where I would just, like, recording on a cassette. I'd be writing a song, three or four songs a week.
Yeah.
A lot of them, not good. But the best tricks are, one, try to write a bad song. It frees you up. If you're willing, it's like the Elvis Costello, don't you know how to be dumb?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, yes. Don't you be dumb. Like, if you can go.
I heard he wrote that for his bass player,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because Bruce Thomas was being all smart, all trying to be.
Yeah, and he wrote a book about him.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's not good for those guys, but you know. Yeah,
good for the song. I like that song.
That, and then the other thing is just write about, like, the synchronicity thing.
Yeah.
If you start singing about what's directly in front of you, either on the table or in your mind. Yeah. It'll eventually lead you there. But, like, for me, it's, you know, I like to start, you know, I get something going. Like, that's, like that Sobriety Cycle. I just
well,
hit that.
That brings up a point, and also about you drinking. Do you like to drink a little when you... Or, you know, I mean, I think...
I don't write best drink, but it's definitely smoke pot.
Right.
Definitely, like, it definitely...
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't write better drunk in any respect, but that frees me up, and... I'll write, at least there'll be a germ of something that I could use later.
It's actually not that different from when I was working with Andy because he was drinking a lot at the time. And it would be, if I could...
It's pretty much like you're drinking.
Well, and I could get, like he was drinking wine, and if I could get him between being grumpy and hungover and waking up, like, and being drunk, like somewhere between the first bottle and the halfway through the second one.
Yeah.
That's where we got our work done.
Right.
And after that, it was pointless. But in that, like, glory, that moment of, like, whoo, first drink and feeling loose and it's, the morning's over and we're into the day.
Yeah.
Or the evening, as it were. I feel like that's kind of the same thing for
that's
me.
That's true. He needs that sweet spot. Me, I need to get
completely
really drunk.
Obliterated.
Yeah.
You're just like a larger guy. Is it because you can hold more? Like, I feel like I get.
I'm also kind of a slow drinker, to tell you the truth.
Oh, okay.
Like, I nurse it, and I'm more of a, like I said, you know, not to say it again, but like, I'm not a homophobic. I'm a fagophobic. I'm not an alcoholic. I'm a baraholic. I like being in bars.
You like
and
being
talking
in bars
to
and talking to people,
or being grumpy in a bar and not talking to people. I like that too. You know, so I sit with one drink, and you know, lately I just haven't been drinking a lot. I'm getting older. It's harder.
And if you're in a bar, they won't let you get. Like, it's their job to not let you get
they
too
love, everyone loves me.
Fucked
they'll let me. I'm the opposite idea. They're like, they make fun of me. Bartenders make fun of me because I don't drink enough.
Hey, tell me about the park.
The park.
The little little bar down the street from here. There's a little bar called The Park, which is like a little sports bar.
Yeah.
They have music. They have songwriters there.
I haven't been in there when they've had music. I don't go in there a lot because they don't have hard liquor.
You should, like, not that I, you know, unsolicited advice. Can I, do you mind if I?
Please.
You know, you should set up so that when your songwriters come and do this, you could, afterwards you go over and do a show there.
Jeez, then I didn't even know they do music there.
That's a great
idea. You could
sit in the bar and drink there and play music.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And maybe they could sponsor this goddamn thing.
See?
Yeah, synchronicity. Jesus.
Just Johnny Appleseeding
like
all over the place.
God damn it. Why are you more popular?
Well, thanks. I don't want to. I mean, I want to be popular with you, listener.
I'm with you. I'm with you. Why do you? I wouldn't say fagophobic so much if I wanted to be popular.
Are we getting to rap?
You want to do a song?
No, yeah, but I'd love to play. There's one. There's a song I played on the air on the Skull Juice show.
Yeah.
But it's the one that like I said, I am promoting the song Fast Forward on Bandcamp from the previous.
That's coming up after we finish talking. Stick around.
But this is a song that I wrote. I'm in LA. I'm working for, like everyone else, I got a screenplay and I'm trying to get it around. And one of the things that I've always done this when I was an actor, I still am an actor, but when I used to actually work as an actor, I would always write songs for my character.
Yeah.
Like I would just in the room, I would just, because you're sitting in this.
Oh, that's
you're sitting in the trailer.
Idea.
You've got this, you're in the character, and then you start to like Randy Newman it. You know, you plug right from in the point of view of that. And then, so like with all different, like with Radio 8 Ball Show, I wrote a theme song for it. Like it's just the songwriting is more like the icing on this, on larger ideas now. And so there's this script I have called Band of Whores. It's about a band of whores.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a song that goes with it. And no one may ever, this is why I am a rock star and why anyone who can play a song is because
a rock star,
you can, because I need someone to tell me I can make my movie. But I don't need anyone.
Right.
This song is.
That's what I love about guitars.
Is the whole fucking
movie.
They're
like the
right
motorcycles
here.
Of
exactly.
instruments.
You just get on and just go, and it takes you there. So, anyway, this song is called Band of Whores. Just a band of whores, you know the type, whores. Not black and not white, whores. Scourge of a nation, ready and waiting for re-education. Yeah, whores, running and gunning, whores. Sinning and sunning, whores. Don't want to get done by the dudes that we're doing or the cops are out running. Just a band of whores, in a land of whores. Just a band of whores, just a band of, don't believe the propaganda about whores, yeah, mothers and daughters whores, sisters and brothers whores, fathers and lovers paying good money to get with each other, yeah, whores, it's a capitalist country, whores, and we work for the money, whores, if you add the dollars, you know you might wanna be one of our callers, just a band of whores, in a land of whores. Just a band of whores. You want a little more? You can join the band of whores. Yeah, taking it out on tour. Yeah, just a band of whores. Yeah, just a band of. Don't believe the propaganda about whores. If it were a civilized nation, whores, we'd be giving our station, whores. We'd be raising your kids better than any old priest ever did. Trust a band of whores. Yeah. In a land of whores, yeah. Just a band of whores, yeah. Want a little more? You can join a band of whores, yeah. Take a shit on tour, man. Just a band of whores, yeah. Just a band of, just a band of, just a band of whores. Band of whores. Band of whores. Don't believe the propaganda.
Yeah. Andras Jones, you're my kind of guest because you love playing.
I love playing.
Sometimes it's, you know, I never make anyone play.
You have to coax it out of people.
I don't even coax it. I'm like, do you want to give an example? You want to play that song? No. Sometimes they don't. I don't mind, but I do like it when people play.
Have you had Patrick Park on yet?
Yeah. Well, he's going to be on right before this podcast.
I saw his name on your list, and I actually made me want to go back and check out his stuff because I don't think I've listened to his stuff in like 12 years. But I remember I was like 2003 or 2004 or something.
Yeah,
like
it's
that.
Good. It's good stuff.
Huge fan.
I've been lucky.
Doing.
I've liked everyone I've had so far, except for you. No, well, joking. I love you.
It's my pleasure. My pleasure to be disliked.
No. I'm sorry
about everything.
I love your stuff.
No, you're sorry about everything.
I am sorry about everything.
No one else can be sorry about it.
Right. But I can't apologize for this podcast because it was good, I think.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Yeah, and everyone stick around for...
Fast forward.
And don't fast forward through it.
Don't fast forward.
Jesus,
fast
worst
forward.
Name for a song.
That's the idea.
Oh, okay.
That's the idea.
I didn't know.
Well, you'll hear it.
All right. I don't know. I may never listen to this.
There was one thing I wanted to ask you before you let me go, because I'm, you know, I don't get. There was something about. I don't know. Sorry,
bad radio.
No, I don't know. There was.
It's all right. It's,
I was obsessing about
and,
this.
We're gonna sit here
morning.
Until you remember.
Okay. We got it. We apologized for treating the Harriet the sugar cookie bad.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
the
just,
clown thing.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah, now that we've had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
As the synchronistic person.
Yeah. And
like we've documented, one of the things we do in the Radio 8 Ball show is they're time stamped. So we record a show, and then by the time it comes out, it's afterwards, and we can sort of go back and look at the tea leaves, kind of like how it related. And I think it's important for people to know when they're listening to this that the world is going to fucking shit around us. Today, like
yeah,
today,
who knows when this, we've or got if this is going to be
right.
Drop.
We're bombing Syria.
This is the second day the Republicans ran Gorsuch down
our throat today.
I've heard we've been bombing Syria a lot.
Oh though. Yes, but yes, I mean it's
just never.
He's
been.
Just no. He's.
It was all a show.
Donald Trump is joining the Democrats
in the
desire to bomb Syria.
You know, he just bombed like an empty airfield. Like,
is that barely, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They knew he was going to bomb. They moved everything out. They moved all their planes out.
Well, thank God for that.
Yeah. I think it was all a show. I think he's just trying to get his approval rating up.
Well, we got our friggin', we're going to have Gorsuch on our, you know, he's going to be there after we're dead.
I also don't want to, yeah.
After we're dead.
Yeah.
He's going to still be there saying, gosh, golly, I don't know what I'd do. Did you watch the hearings?
No, I don't watch it. Oh,
I had to. I can't take my eyes away.
I can't take my eyes.
I've watched too many movies about like the rise of the Third Reich to like not, you know, it's like the fact that we have Man in the High Castle is a hit TV show right now and America is turning that way. It's nuts. Philip K. Dick, where are you?
All right, well, hopefully your song will be uplifting.
Well, no, it won't. Not at all. It's not at all.
God damn you.
It's not at all. But from a synchronistic standpoint, we don't know where we're headed. But the thing, one of the things I love about music is that it does, when it was played, makes as much a difference as who it was played by, I think.
Yeah.
And all these songs somehow relate to guys who were on the Titanic.
Yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah.
So we're all on the Titanic together, people.
Oh, Jesus.
I hope you enjoy this song.
Thanks. It's our Lou Costello. Bye, everyone. Bye, Andras.
Bye, Dino. Bye-day.
Feral Audio.